beads and all sorts of cool things. And I was thinking about the symbolism of the various things we have at Mardi Gras, and I thought, oh, you know, the mask thing is probably related to the scripture this week. This is really cool because we've got Moses putting on a veil, a mask. And so it must be there's a connection here between we wear masks at Mardi Gras and the Moses veil thing. And so I looked it up on the internet, and it turns out actually it has nothing to do with Moses and the mask thing. It's totally not religious. It comes from the fact that because Mardi Gras is the last wild and crazy party before the serious season of Lent, people do things that they don't want anybody to recognize them for doing. So they put on a mask so you don't know that they're the person who got very drunk and did crazy things or whatever they did or ate too much fattening food or whatever they did on Mardi Gras. So the masks are really all about hiding yourself when you misbehave at our party today. So I still thought, well, but that story about Moses and the mask is a really intriguing one, even if we didn't translate it into something religious. I mean, Moses was on the mountain. He had gone up for the second time. You remember he went up one time on the mountain to talk to God, and God gave him the commandments, and he came back down from the mountain and discovered that while he was on the mountain with God, the people down below were making an idol of gold and worshiping it. And so here comes Moses down the mountain. I've got 10 commandments. The first four are about how don't worship anybody but God. And they're all busy worshiping statues of gold. So Moses gets mad and smashes the stones. And then Moses and God have a little chat, and he goes back up on the mountain to get the commandments again and give it another try. So this is the second time he's coming down, and he has been talking to God. Not face to face, but to God's backside. But that's another story, which I'll save for another time. But somebody on the internet translated it. God let him see his butt. That's another story. He's been in the presence of God. And he's glowing. And it says he's glowing with the glory of God. He's shining. I remember one year for the Christmas pageant, we didn't have a live baby, and I had gotten to the point of buying that nice fake doll thing, and we used a light bulb and wrapped it up, and so it glowed because it had like a halo, right? Well, you know what happens if you stare at a light bulb? Don't try this, okay? It's like, or if you stare at the sun at the time of an eclipse, you know? It hurt people's faces to see the glow on Moses' face. And it says he was shining, radiating so brightly, it was blinding. Or like when you go outside on a day when it's snow all around, and then the sun is shining, and you have to put on your sunglasses, you have to veil yourself, or your eyes. It hurts. So apparently, the radiance from Moses' face was so bright that he put on a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of the meeting with God, he would take off the veil and meet with God face to face. But when he came out, the people demanded that he put the veil on. So there are some things we can notice from that story. First of all, being the story says that after Moses was with God for a little while, or away from God for a little while and with the people, he could go around without the mask on his face. Because it started to fade. The glow started to fade after a while of not being with God. And the message for us is clear there as well. We can't just say, oh, I had a glorious experience of faithfulness and I'm glowing with the glory of God for the rest of my life. I'm transformed. No, we have to keep going back. Keep going back to be with God regularly if we're going to keep the glory in us. When he came back, when he came down from the mountain and Moses' face was glowing, it says that he didn't know it. It says that the people told him that his face was glowing. Often we change and others see it, but we don't. I think a few weeks ago I told the story about how when I stopped one of my parts of my prayer life, my children said, Mom, why are you grumpy lately? And I was changed because I hadn't been visiting God as much. And they noticed it, but I didn't notice it until they commented on it. And then I realized that I needed to get back to more time with God to rejuvenate the glow. So Moses had to wear this mask, this covering of God's glory around the people, but he took it off in the presence of God. I think that happens to a lot of us. We wear various masks. We cover parts of ourselves around people. But in the presence of God, God knows us. God who formed us in the womb and knows our innermost thoughts, sees behind the mask. We don't need to wear our mask with God. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not sure how to pray. I can't find the right and proper words to pray. The letter to the Romans says the Holy Spirit will give you the words. You don't need to find right words because God sees behind the mask. Whatever words are on your heart, you can take them to God face to face, like Moses did. And Moses' glow, it wasn't because he was a good guy and so he just glowed with power. It was because God was shining through him. The glow that was about him wasn't some artificial, oh, I think I'll look like I'm full of spirit. It was God glowing through him and shining through him. Well, so because all of these things happened, of course, Moses was held in the highest esteem by all Jewish people. And so when, years later, Jesus went up the mountain to pray and was transfigured and appeared with Moses and Elijah, of course, Peter and James and John were amazed. And when next, Moses and Elijah faded from the scene and there was just Jesus there. And a voice proclaimed that Jesus was the chosen, was even greater than Moses. It must have been incredible for them because they knew how amazing Moses was. And now to hear this voice telling them, Jesus was even greater. It was a tremendous mountaintop experience before they came down the mountain and headed to Jerusalem. And you would think that after this incredible experience, that voice from heaven and everything, that the disciples themselves would have been changed by that experience. But the very first thing that happened after they saw the transfiguration was the end of our gospel reading today, which was that there was a person who needed healing and came to Jesus and said, "Your disciples couldn't heal my kid." So apparently, the disciples, even though they had seen this amazing thing on the mountaintop, they still weren't really changed. But eventually, Peter, James, and John did come to understand the meaning of power of what they had seen in Jesus, but not by the transfiguration, rather by being at the cross of his death and at the resurrection. And then they too were changed. And as we hear in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we read it every year in the Easter season after the resurrection, Peter, James, and John all went on to do miraculous things and incredible healings as the power of Jesus shone through them. In the church, we always remember Jesus' transfiguration on the last Epiphany. That means it's the stars going down this week, Mike, and the greens going away, and the church is getting more somber. But on this day, we are reminded of the glory of the Epiphany season. And then we head down the mountain to Ash Wednesday and to the beginning of Lent. And we and all Christians begin the Lenten road to Jerusalem. But our journey to Jerusalem is not the same as one of the apostles, because we know what they didn't know, and that is, we know that there's something even more glorious than the transfiguration at the end of the road, the resurrection. And we know that after the resurrection, when Jesus came back just before the ascension, he said, "I'm leaving you in person now, but you, the followers of me, are going to be my living body in the world. You need your lives transfigured. You need to all glow with the glory of not just the transfiguration, but greater still, the hope and promise of the resurrection." And that's what Paul was saying in that strange part of the letter to the Corinthians today. We have a hope in Jesus, so we act with a boldness, not like the situation where Moses had to cover up the glory of God on his face. Rather, all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. All of us are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. As the body of Christ, with Jesus living in us and through us, we reflect God's glory to the world. We are the Moses-like people when we reflect God to the world. Like Moses, like Jesus, we are the ones who radiate God to the world. We shine God's light into the places of suffering and darkness and doubt, where we bring God's hope in Jesus' name. We are the Christ bearers. So we pray again the kala that we started our worship with today. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened.